Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery back in the Kia Studios with you here on a Saturday afternoon. You know, reading is hard for some people. I had a guy tweet about, you see that Twitter? Do you see that, Jahi? You got the station Twitter up? Yeah, some dum-dum tried to tell me that Paul Millsap at his three of his four all-stars with the Utah Jazz. No, he didn't. Go look at the four stars. The four seasons he was here in Atlanta, he was an all-star in each one of them, starting in 14, 15, 16, and 17. So, yeah, they were all under Coach Budenholzer. So you got to read better, folks. I mean, if you're gonna tell me I'm wrong about something, at least when you put the evidence that you think I'm wrong, look at the screen once, Jahi. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. So what's the old saying? You can't fix stupid. Anyway, speaking of which, CC Sabathia last night, a little bit salty in his start against the Tampa Bay Rays. So, you know, he's kind of pitching inside against some guys, and then a couple of times after some strikeouts started kind of piping up, mouthing off, even at one point after striking out. Now, he says he was just excited about the game and, you know, we're playing for first place and all that that kind of stuff. So he actually was, like, looking over at the Rays dugout and supposedly saying some more. They didn't pick up what he said out of all of that, but was throwing inside against guys and, you know, something got him. I guess from before that that he thought that the Rays pitchers were pitching the Yankees guys a little bit too close after some home runs were hit and things like that. So I guess that was CC's way of retaliating. But I saw the video of it last night. He was kind of fired up. I mean, for the old guy, he was a little bit upset and looking in their dugout and shouting something. So I guess maybe the Rays in the as I'm looking at my Yankee cohort over here, Paul Crane, woo. I guess he's got some heat going on with him. So CC trying to get back a little bit last night. He was thrown inside at some guys last night. Didn't plunk anybody, so I don't know. I mean, Kevin Gausman did that and got five games, so I don't know if CC is going to look at a suspension or anything like that or not. So when we get back, do these college football coaches have any valid points about the transfer portal, or is all of this just coach speak? We'll talk about that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. Halfway home with you here on a Saturday afternoon. John Chuckery here with you till 5 o'clock. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. As well, if you want to interact with the show, streaming online, go to 929thegame.com. Catch replays of the shows, all our interviews, our finest moments on our new and improved website. It's all up there for you, breaking sports news as well. Download your radio.com app. You got a phone, a tablet, a boombox, a CD player, laser disc, I don't know, whatever, Blu-ray. Just put it on something so that you can listen to us live on the go and hear us anywhere you want to hear. Social media-wise, it's all at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, anything you need is out there for it at 929thegame. Best way to interact with the show today, if you want to jump on Twitter, you can follow me like some people have, at JMCH. 316 at JMCH 316. We will hear from Dennis Dodd coming up at 3:20. But Dennis, a really good college football writer for CBS, got a chance to talk with several different coaches, and especially one that we know very well here in Kirby Smart. And he starts off the article talking about Kirby Smart's torn. Georgia's coach believes players deserve a certain amount of transfer freedom. But he's not exactly celebrating the 7-month anniversary of the transfer portal. Quote from Kirby Smart, "My biggest problem with the portal is that it gives kids an easy way out. I know the devil's advocate of players' rights and they should be able to go wherever they want to go, but I'm telling you, no normal parent would say at the first sign of trouble, I want my son to run." Well, here's where we get into trouble with all that. See, I don't think you can have a middle ground when it comes to a transfer portal. Either you've got to let the kids be able to, if everybody else can do what they want to do in the world of college athletics, then the kids should have that same kind of freedom too. If ADs and coaches and everybody wants to move around and do it, then the kids should have that same kind of freedom. See, I believe that you either shut it down completely, or you have to allow everybody to do what they got to do. I'm on that side of the argument. You know, for some of these kids, and I get it, not every kid goes to the NFL or the NBA or whatever is going on. I get all that. But for a lot of these kids, they have to cash in now. Their opportunity to cash in and make something is right here and now. And yeah, I get it. People don't like Tate Martell complaining to Ohio State, leaving to my, you know, I get all that kind of stuff. But I like free agency in college athletics. I do. I'm a big fan of free agency in college athletics. You know, if I get it. People say, well, you know, he doesn't want to compete or this, that, and the other. Look, if in the real world, because everybody wants to throw in their stories about, you know, well, that's not how it works in the real world. I got news for you. People don't leave jobs all the time in the real world. If competition gets hard, you go find something better, right? I mean, Jahi left us. Jahi ran out on us. I mean, Jahi left us. As we welcome him back in, sort of getting back in the groove, kind of slow and everything like that. You know, that happens all the time. Right, wrong, or indifferent, it's part of what human nature in the society is. It's great to sit there and say, well, he should stay and compete. They've got a finite number of years to cash in on their trade. It's a finite number of years to do that. You know, if you're Justin Fields and you're saying, okay, Jake Fromm looks like he's got one or two more years as the starting quarterback of Georgia, and I'm not going to beat him out, then you go to Ohio State. I mean, it's easy to sit there and try to put it in the real-life spin, but then again, when we give you real-life examples of how this happens all the time, then people don't like that. Kirby Smartlock is on say, it would be no different than the NFL saying, we have a scouting department for colleges, but we also have a scouting department for free agents. The NFL free agent market means they have to evaluate these 20 free agents. We just happen to have a larger pool, which is the portal. They don't like the idea of free agency. You got to embrace it. Yeah, you got to embrace it. This idea of, you know, I always laugh at the student athlete aspect of these things because it's ridiculous. Ben Simmons was not a student athlete at LSU, yet forever in his NBA career, when he goes through an introduction for an NBA team, they'll say from Louisiana State University. Okay, he's about as much entrenched at LSU and their lore as I am. You did what you have to do to get through it and make your way to the NBA. And that was the portal or the vessel that was needed. Now, also asking about Kirby Smart about, you know, any regrets about the Justin Fields. No regrets, Smith says. I would go recruit the best player again. You have to. You know, Urban Meyer had a policy about go get a good quarterback in each class and let it sort itself out. That's how it is. And there will be kids. You saw in Washington, now the one kid pulled his back, but two of their quarterbacks, or four-star quarterbacks, went to the transfer portal. Okay. Yeah, you get your guy, and that shakes out to be your guy, and then go recruit the next one. And there's going to be some casualties with that. It's going to be some collateral damage. The good programs overcome that. You know, Kelly Bryant was a guy who took Clemson to the playoffs, and they said, Trevor Lawrence is better. And guess what? There'll be another five-star kid that will come right behind Trevor Lawrence, and you know what he'll do? Take them to the playoff too, probably. Because Clemson's not going away anytime soon. You know, kids will shake themselves out. You know, it's not the old days anymore, folks. I mean, you know, this whole idea of kids should sit out a year, and they made a commitment and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Why do they owe the university anything? And don't give me the education part of it, because that's just, don't give me the education stuff. Okay, these kids that think they're going to get their way into professional athletics aren't thinking about that piece of paper right then and there. You just saw guys like Marcus Camby go back 25 years later. You see a lot of you get these stories all the time. Such and such goes back to Carolina to get his degree 20 years later. You know, if they want their degree, they'll get it then, they'll get it now, they'll get it somewhere down the road. You know, they'll figure that part of it out. They're trying to cash in. And it's hard to blame some of those kids. I get it. You want to keep kids on campus and not have them transfer? Give them financial incentive. How about that? You want to keep Justin Fields at Georgia? Give him financial incentive to stay. Not, well, he's got his chance to compete, and then if he leaves, well, he didn't want to compete. I'm not saying Kirby said that, but, I mean, that is some of the mantra. Arizona State's head coach Herm Edwards said, you know, in talking about, as for loyalty, you won't find, you know, the following phrase written in language, but a school doesn't have to renew a scholarship of a player that goes in the portal. But Herm Edwards says, when you do that, we have the ability to take away your grant in aid away. You better understand that once your name hits the portal, you're basically saying, I'm gone. Okay, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that either. That's part of the yin and the yang of all this. That's part of the consequences. Okay, I won't get this, but I'm going to go transfer somewhere else. That you can't put the restrictions on the kids anymore. It can't be everybody else benefits in the world of college athletics, but the kids don't have the freedom to go excel. Like I said, you want these kids to stay? Give them financial incentive to stay. If you want Justin Fields to stay on campus and sit for a year or two and do the days of the DJ Shockley thing are over. It's not where kids' heads are at. Right, wrong, or indifferent. That's not where kids' heads are at. Georgia's still going to go out and recruit all the best players, right? They're not going to slow down recruiting five-star quarterbacks, five-star receivers. Recruit them all. Get them on campus and let them sort themselves out. And yeah, you'll lose some kids for it. That's part of the deal. Okay? You know, I interview I'm a manager. I interview lots of candidates. Some take the job. Some that I want to take the job don't take it. That comes with the territory. You don't get everybody that you always want out there. You got to find your guys and develop some of your guys. And realize that they're looking at bigger. Listen, we talked about this with Randy last week. I think everybody had Jake Fromm penciled in as he's going to be a four-year player on campus for Georgia. He throws for 3,500 yards and 30 touchdowns again at Georgia in the SEC. Bye-bye. He'll be at the combine in Indianapolis throwing for some team. He won't be there. Why? Because he wants to cash in. Because unless Georgia is going to make it worth his while, then he can't cash in at Georgia. I get, Tate Martell looks kind of crazy, doesn't he? You know, didn't win the job in Ohio State, Fields come up, now transfer down. I get it. But the kid is trying to make his way through all of this. He's trying to cash in. Because you know what happens at the end of the 4 years? You only got your body of work. Dwayne Haskins took 1 year at Ohio State. Through 50 touchdowns, and Lincoln and they talk about that in the article about Ryan Day says, you know, we thought he was going to be on campus, but he throws 50 touchdowns, and now he's a top 15 pick in the NFL. Yeah, that's how it works. You thought you had him for another year or 2 years on top of all that, but he's going to cash in. That's what those kids want to do. And yeah, maybe they're not all first-round draft picks, but $300,000 in the NFL is better than my stipend money and my sweatpants and my three meals a day and my extra snacks that I get at Ohio State or Georgia. I'm not telling you it's the worst life in the world to be on campus and be an athlete, but for a lot of these kids, even that $250,000, $300,000, it may not be the millions, but it's the money. I don't have problems with kids transferring and moving where they want to do. The problem they're having now, there's not enough spots for all the kids in the portal. There's not enough open, like, scholarship areas and stuff like that. And by the way, too, these coaches don't think twice about putting you on gray shirting kids. Where, yeah, we had a scholarship, but now you got to come walk on and all this kind of stuff. Coaches have pulled that all the time over the years. Pulled the gray shirt thing on kids. You know, loyalty, if you want it to be a two-way street, then you got to make it that way. All right, when we come back, Dennis Dodd did join Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael. We'll hear his interview coming up next from middays the other day. John Chuck, we're in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. John Chuckery here with you till 5 o'clock today, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can interact with the show. Follow me on Twitter at JMCH316. You can interact with the show that way, as many of you have done today. Yesterday, with Randy McMichael and Andy Bunker, national football, college football writer for CBSSports.com, Dennis Dodd joined the guys. We were referencing his article in the previous segment and his talk with Kirby Smart and Lincoln Riley and Ryan Day, among others. Guys had a chance to talk with him, and their first question they asked him about, what do these coaches think about the transfer portal?
Nobody really has a handle on it. They all know what it means individually to their schools because each school is affected differently by it. But, you know, what does it mean in the big picture? I've seen a lot of coaches call it free agency, which it absolutely isn't. It doesn't change the basic rules of transferring, which is, as an undergraduate, you have to sit out a year unless you get a waiver. All this does is take away that heinous, really, I don't even know if it's a rule. It's just kind of developed practice that you have to get permission from your school and or your coach. The transfer, when I did the research for an earlier story, I said, how did this come about? And the earliest I could get, this is from a former NCAA employee, was it just kind of came about in 1964. So we're talking about 55 years this is an accepted practice. So this, I think this is great progress.
Hey, Diz, with that being said, are the coaches you talked to or the ones you that were in this article, how is this transfer portal changing how they recruit their players now?
Well, I think any of them that, I guess, criticize it are being a little hypocritical because they're going to either have or will go get a player out of the portal. You know, I think we should take all that with a grain of salt. We can, you know, listen to Nick Saban. Is this going to have to be, am I going to have to change the way I coach? Well, before you answer that question, Nick, tell me you're not going to take any players out of the portal. And he did say this last year in Destin at the SEC meeting. He asked it rhetorically, but that was my immediate thought. I go, well, yeah, maybe, you know, but I don't think that's a big deal if you have to change the way you coach, maybe to keep guys in the fold. And by the way, you're not going to lose many players from Alabama, but I think it's just the case that they're still feeling it out. You know, as much as they hate it, they're going to use it.
Was it Kirby Smart used the phrase bottom feeders, right? That was sort of how he described maybe a program that would go about really trying to replenish their roster from the portal. I guess it's hard if you use language like that, like you said, and then you go and use the transfer. Does that make you a bottom feeder if you use the transfer portal as well?
Yeah, I've been trying to clarify that. I'm not speaking for Kirby, but he was talking about he's heard of programs, or at least one program, that recruited five high school players and then filled out their recruiting class with the portal. I'm not speaking for Kirby, but I think he's almost got to be talking about FCS or Division II, which can get, you know, you can transfer down to those without having to sit out. Because I can't imagine one of the 130 FCS schools recruiting only five high school players and filling out the portal transfers because you just have to sit out. Unless you're getting a whole bunch of grad transfers, which wouldn't be the case anyway. So, yeah, when I think he said bottom feeders, I think he was cavalierly throwing that that term out there, not maybe talking about FCS or Division II, or maybe the bottom of FCS. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, Dennis. All right, so earlier today, I get really annoyed sometimes with the whole transfer portal, and I just saw this story about a kid from Auburn who went in transfer portal, went to Colorado in January. Now he's back in it. I mean, are we going to see more of this where after spring practice, you might, you know, you get an opportunity and you see a guy getting more reps than you? Oh, well, he looks like he's going to be the starter. I'm out.
Well, I think that's going to be very rare.
Okay.
I think you're going to do. Even these kids who don't get taken, it looks like there are quite a bit of them. I don't think you're going to see them transfer twice. I mean, even in the old system, you didn't see them transfer twice. You know, again, they still have to sit out a year. So, no, I think that's a one-off, frankly.
And then, as you were just talking about, there are kids that are in this transfer portal, and if they decide, you know what, let me go back to school, do you think there are going to be some hard feelings, maybe some kind of implications with the head coach?
Well, you mean if they try to go back to the original school?
Yeah.
I think that's just taking hold here, because as Kirby and Herm Edwards of Arizona State in the piece reminded, I think Kirby put it very succinctly, if your name's in the portal, you're cut. In other words, we're not taking you back. And that is an option for all these coaches. It's an option. You can take them back, but once you're in the portal, you know, there's the option of the coach or the school not, you know, to take away your scholarship. In other words, you can't come back. And I think players are just realizing that. But look, again, if you're at that stage, and I was reminded of this, Megan, if you're putting your name into the portal, the coach knows you're dissatisfied, the kid knows, the parents know, the school knows, everybody. So it's not a surprise necessarily when names pop up in the portal. It's just kind of a shot in the face, like, whoa, I can't block this guy, neither can the school, and he's gone. So you move on from there.
Dennis Dodd joining us here on the WadeForIt.com hotline from CBSSports.com. You can follow Dennis on Twitter as well at Dennis Dodd CBS. One of the quotes from the article that really jumped out to me, Dennis, is from Bill Moose, the athletic director at Nebraska, where he sort of hinted at the idea, the slippery slope that this may be headed towards of sitting in a room 2 years from now talking about free agency and salary caps. And I'm with you in saying that this isn't that much of a departure from what has happened in the past.
Wow.
But there seems to be some momentum, certainly, swinging in the direction of player friendliness, creating the committee to talk about potentially paying players for their likeness. Where do you think that we're going with all of this?
I agree with you. I think for about 5 years, we've had this kind of under-the-radar student-athlete welfare initiative from the NCAA, and, you know, I think that's good. I mean, what Bill Moose mentioned in the piece is two different things, the free agency concept of the portal and then, you know, compensating players. I thought there was a big move this week, I think it was Tuesday, when the NCAA established that working group to address name, image, and likeness. And if people aren't familiar with that, it's your born, God-given right to capitalize on your accomplishments when you come out of the womb. The NCAA doesn't allow that or didn't allow that. Barry Sanders highlights could be used to sell Buicks. Johnny Manziel couldn't capitalize on his autograph. My point is, on any of that, the foundation of amateurism isn't going to collapse if, say, these players get into a licensing agreement with an individual or even the NCAA where they share proceeds from jersey sales. And the NCAA made a quick announcement after that release Tuesday. They said, this is not going to be money changing hands. It doesn't have to be. The NCAA can just act as a third party and allow a licensing group to pay these players. And let's say they do it with a condition of graduation. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. Sure. I mean, that was one of the decisions to come out of O'Bannon. Mm-hmm. That got struck down on appeal. I think that could be done.
Why now, though? I mean, I don't think that we're under any disillusion that Mark Emmert simply woke up and said, you know, I think this is the right thing, the God-given ability to make likeness money off of your name. Why is this all happening now in sort of this last 5 years of momentum that you spoke about?
Yeah, I've written this many times. The NCAA basically exists now to limit its liability. Its COO is their general counsel. This person who was elevated to, I guess, the person that oversees infractions committees and in enforcement is their number two general counsel. It's a very litigious society. The NCAA is fending off multiple, I think there's 200 lawsuits just to do with head trauma alone. And the less liability they can incur, the better for them. I mean, that's why we have cost of attendance. They saw that coming to the courts one day. That's why we have this name, image, and likeness thing maybe loosening up, because they see that as a lawsuit coming down the pipe. So that's why it started out as a nonprofit, and it still is a nonprofit, to, as you know, 1905, 19 deaths because of the flying wedge in football. Mm-hmm. 114 years later, they just passed a rule this year to limit the two-man wedge. So it's taken them 114 years to get rid of the flying wedge in my book. So they exist to limit liability right now. I don't know if they serve the membership that much.
They're moving quick.
They're moving.
They're on top of it.
The last,
they're trying.
Last one for me is, do you actually think this is going to happen? Because I've always been under this impression where I'm the NCAA, especially in football. You got to come to me to get to where you want to go. So why do I have to pay you anything?
I will counter that by telling you to ask Mackenzie Milton. When people say, oh, they get a free scholarship.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Mackenzie Milton, Matt. Mackenzie Milton is the quarterback at UCF who may not walk again.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're familiar with that catastrophic knee injury. And yeah, that's very rare. But what we don't know is, you know, these guys that are getting headshots in college or 40 years from now, they're going to know their name.
Right.
And nobody knows that. There is kind of this, and I'm going to write about it later this summer, there's kind of this overarching, I guess, feeling in football, and I call it football under attack. People are being forced to take sides. One thing, football is a character-building, great game, pure America for everybody. Another saying, you know, like the trustee at Colorado, when Mel Tucker signed his agreement at Colorado, would not vote for it because he had said in the lead-up that I believe in physical football, nothing else. He goes, I don't believe football can be played safely anymore. Those two ideas are going to come to a head, and they continue to come to a head. So I think that's where we are right now with football.
I have a much more trivial question for you. I'm sorry. That was a really important and deep answer. would this be a step towards getting the video game back? Because I know a lot of people want the video game back.
Really?
that's a great point with name, image, and likeness. You know, look, I think that's something to be talked about because we all miss it, right?
We miss it.
We love NCAA football.
We do.
You know, why not, you know, again, as part of this licensing deal, we give us some money, EA Sports or whatever it is, give us some money for the overall likeness of our group, you know, the 5,000 players or whatever that play NCAA football, and, you know, you can have our blessing to put our face or one of our faces on the cover. I don't think that collapses the amateurism foundation.
I don't think so either.
And you can even take some of the money and give it back to some head trauma research or something like that. And everybody wins. No, I think that might be a thing. You're right.
Amateurism. Yeah, I mean, that's the better word for this instead of student athlete and things like that. Yeah, I don't buy into all that argument. They are amateur athletes. This is their platform they have to use to get to the next level. All right, coming back, for Atlanta United fans, does style matter at all? Or is it still just about the results? We'll talk some Atlanta United with you next. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios hanging out. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
I mean, you can almost look back at the loss at Red Bull Arena last year as kind of the start of this, where Tata Martino going into the postseason said, look, we're going to be a defensive team. Now, what I think Frank DeBoer's been able to do is take that to the next evolution of it to where they're second in the league in shots per match, they're sixth in shots on target, but they've kept that security defensively.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. John Chuckery here with you. That was Jason Longshore. He joined Carl Dukes and I yesterday as we get ready for action coming up tomorrow, 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock kick. All action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Conti, and Jason Longshore will have both the pregame and the call and postgame for you as well. So, Atlanta United in the midst of a red-hot streak, an unprecedented streak in the history of MLS. 5 consecutive wins, all via a shutout. The 5 clean sheet victories, as they like to say. And, you know, for all of the angst that had happened early on in the season, it's amazing what winning can do. Because, you know, the reality is that now Atlanta United now is a +5 in goal differential. So that number has moved up ahead, now sitting at 20 points. But, you know, Philadelphia's a +11. DC's a +6. Toronto's a +5. Chicago's a +6. So there are other teams that are in the East alone that are there or better. But, you know, not scoring goals is one thing. Losing is a whole nother thing. Or getting draws, you know, is another thing. And it is a different look at Atlanta United. And the thing that I'm understanding more and more and more as we get into this season is the fact that, well, you know, reality is that this is not going to ever be probably the same Atlanta United team that we got used to in the first couple of years, where up and down and lots of goals. And yeah, maybe even if they give up one, they're going to score three more on top of it. It's a much more defensive-minded team. Now, part of that is Frank DeBoer's system. Part of that is the fact that you don't have a Miguel Almiron to just break out and break loose and maybe the best two-way player that was in MLS. You don't have that dynamic anymore. And maybe they get back to some of that if PT and Barco, you know, get back to their kind of form. You know, Barco obviously out for the next, what? He's got about five more matches that he's going to be gone for with the international duty and things like that, you know. But it's amazing what winning can do. You know, it doesn't have to be pretty, doesn't have to be as exciting, doesn't have to be kind of free form, you know, get the win. You know, Colorado, that match was dreadful to watch because of the style that Colorado is going to play. And it's about possession and things like that. You know, Jahi, we joke about with Atlanta United that a lot of this was the same exact way my social life was going. Lots of shooting, scoring chances, but no results for any of it. It's kind of what it was. Now a few goals are starting to trickle in here and there, but it's not like this team is, you know, all of a sudden it's just 4-0, 3-0, 3-1 or whatever like that. You know, 1-0 over Vancouver, 1-0 over Orlando, 2-0. Now 3-0 over Kansas City. They kind of open up. But 1-0 over Colorado. You know, we're not going to see that offensive juggernaut. And it sounds like that guys have come to that realization, not just the analysts, but even the players. When, you know, I had a chance to talk to Michael Parkhurst and talking to Carlos Bocanegra, you know, guys are starting to figure some of that out. Now, Atlanta United is only allowing an average of 8.7 shots per game. That's the best in MLS. And Brad Guzan, who's been great this year and has that consecutive minutes, whatever it is, 400-something consecutive minute streak, 460 or whatever the number is, only averaging 2.1 saves per game. So that's the fifth fewest in the league. And Frank DeBoer has said that he feels like he has 14 or 15 players that he trusts to put into the starting 11. So, you know, we go back to that depth thing that Atlanta United has, that there's a lot of guys that you can trust on this roster, and they bring a lot of different things, you know, to it. But as long as they're winning, you know, I guess I'm in the kind of style be damned thing. Do I like the old way? Yes. Was it fun? Yes. But if winning means that they have to learn how to play a little bit differently, doesn't mean they're taking away all their attacking and everything like that. They've got too many good players to not do some of that. But it won't be the same kind of reckless approach or the same kind of really pressing type of approach that they may have had in the past. You know, they'll still take advantage of turnovers and things like that from other teams and go after you. But you are starting to see a little bit more of that breakthrough. But at the same time, as long as they're winning, the 1-0 and, you know, it's not pretty, I'll take that. I'll take that. I say all the time in the NFL, you know, it doesn't matter how you win. Doesn't matter what your margin is. Did you win or not? All that matters is how many numbers in the W column do you have? And if that means you win every game 6-3, you win every game 3-2, that's fine. Just keep winning. Things will figure themselves out if you just keep winning. And if Atlanta United is going to turn into this, you know, juggernaut, as you know, you're reading, I mean, this from prosoccer.com or whatever it is about Atlanta United becoming a defensive juggernaut under Frank DeBoer, then that's fine. If that's the way that our new identity is going to roll for Atlanta United, as long as it means winning, then I'm good with that. Now, there are still some teams, like you saw with Kansas City at home, you saw with Toronto, that are not going to sit back and just crowd it all in the way that Colorado does. And it'll be interesting tomorrow to see what New York does. They may do a little bit of that because they don't score a lot of goals. They're not the same kind of offensive team that they've been in the past. The Red Bulls are a +2 right now in goal differential, 4-2-5 on the season for the Red Bulls, and it didn't go well in CONCACAF for them either. By and large, nobody from MLS had a really good CONCACAF run. It was rather ugly, I mean, to be honest with you, in CONCACAF for all those teams. Kansas City, New York, Atlanta didn't go very well. But that's all right. I mean, that's good experience, good exposure for this franchise to get itself through. So we'll see how some of these teams that, let's face it, if they don't think that Atlanta United maybe is the same style, how do they approach the way that they play against Atlanta United? It's going to be hard to be one of those teams that wants to go right at Atlanta United and their defense and goaltending because it's been so good, and run the risk of one turnover can still mean a goal for this team. And some of it's been luck. It's been hit the post, just miss a pass. You know, the timing just off with guys especially that didn't get a lot of preseason time, didn't get a lot of time in the offseason to work together. You know, this will probably be a very different looking kind of team that we get used to as this season rolls along. Expect maybe a lot more 1-0, maybe 2-1 types of games. But like I said, as long as it means that we're winning, that's a good thing. I'll take 1-0 over Orlando and Vancouver if that's what the result is. Play great defense, get an early lead, and if that means you sit back a little bit and maybe you're not quite as aggressive, or when you don't have some of your horses available, you can't press it and push it as hard as what you'd like to, I'm okay with that. Just put the W's in the column. Because at the end of the day, they're only going to be judged by, did they get that cup or not? Did that cup stay with Atlanta or did it not? Not even the supporter shield or anything like that. It was all great for New York to get all that supporter shield. At the end of the day, it was Atlanta United hoisting up the cup here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. All right. When we get back, there's a player in the NBA that was suspended for a couple of years. And we're getting into some Braves talk here in the 4 o'clock hour as well. We're taking you all the way till 5 o'clock today. Chuck, we're here with you. Rob Tripp, we're going to be coming up a little bit later on after me. But next, the player that got a 2-year suspension in the NBA. We'll talk about that next. In the Kia Studios, John Chuckery, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.